It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Laramie Tunsil will become official at 4 p.m. today. That's when the actual league calendar and free agency begins. All these deals get signed. All these trades get finalized. Cole Thompson is the managing editor of the Texans Wire. And he's a host on SEC Unfiltered. So we may talk some SEC with him here in a moment. But let's start with why. Why, Cole, did the Texans trade Laramie Tunsil?
You know, I think that is the million-dollar question that many folks in Houston that are frustrated at the move are still trying to wonder, and hopefully within the next couple of weeks we'll be able to meet with Nick Caserio and ask him straight up, why are you trading a five-time Pro Bowl left tackle with a quarterback on a rookie contract to a team that has a quarterback on a rookie contract and the reigning offensive rookie of the year? There's a lot of things that go into that. I can tell you that, speaking to several Texans players this past week, there was a disconnect from the Texans organization and how they handled the Tunsil deal. Tunsil was very well respected in that locker room. He was very well liked by multiple veterans. He was voted on as a team captain. People believed that he was an enforcer and did a lot of the brunt work on setting the foundation. Remember that there was a time where Tunsil could have asked for a trade when the Texans were finishing 3-13-1 and 4-13 and 4-12, and he decided to stick it on out and be a part of the foundation of a new regime, comes on in with C.J. Stroud and helps the team back 10 win seasons and 2 playoff games. But ultimately, from what I've gathered, there was a very big disconnect from the current regime and the offensive line in general. They thought that there was too much toxicity inside of the locker room with the firing of Chris Strausser and the promotion of Cole Popovich. They wanted a change, and DeMeco Ryans let us know down in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago at the Combine that there would be change coming to the offensive line. How would it look? Well, it starts off by releasing Shaq Mason as a post-June first cut for $9.4 million. It transpires on punting on Kenyon Green, a former first-round pick, and getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson in return to help fortify the secondary. And ultimately, the feeling was is that Tunsil no longer fit the ideologies of what the organization wants for its offensive line underneath new offensive coordinator Nick Caley. So quietly, they had been working behind the scenes with multiple teams. Several teams came with an offer, and ultimately, Washington came with the best one. He's headed to D.C. to protect Jaden Daniels, and 4 picks are coming back to Houston, hopefully in the top 100 over the next 2 years.
All right, before I get your opinion on what Washington's getting, you know, you mentioned the new offensive coordinator and you mentioned some of the, you know, perhaps dysfunction. How much of that had to do with Bobby Slowick?
Sorry, I lost you for a second. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, no worries. How much of the dysfunction had to do with Bobby Slowick?
50-50. There were multiple times when you looked play calling and the design, especially later in games, third quarter, where it just felt like they were rushing to the line of scrimmage. And partially they were rushing because it felt like they were taking too long to get a play in. Tunsil was one of the biggest problems with that at times because if he was the most penalized offensive lineman in the NFL. He led the NFL in false starts back-to-back years. He has a combined 27, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 24 games. There was also a myriad of issues when it came to finding quality offensive line play. And I think injuries also play a factor into it, guys. You know, they were dealing with Kenyon Green out for all of 2023. They were down Juice Scruggs most of the 2023 season. They were down Jared Patterson at times. Titus Howard missed some time last year. So this was not a healthy offensive line. There was a constant disconnect of who were going to be the right five starting offensive linemen. But they want to make a change. They bring in Nick Caley, comes from the Patriot background, but also from the Sean McVay coaching tree. And I think that there is a certain criteria that you have to meet, especially with that Bill Belichickian style. And it's you have got to be a hard worker. You've got to be somebody that is going to put pedal to the metal during practices, during film study, during workouts. And if you don't fit that mold, well, we don't really want you here anymore. We appreciate all you've done for the previous organizations, but this is a new era of Texans football, one where we expect 10-plus wins, and we're going to do it our way. I think the other big selling point is that when you bring in a guy like Nick Caley, he comes from a no-nonsense mentality and an up-tempo attack. You got to be smooth. You got to be direct. You have to be able to plant your foot in the ground and be willing to strike when there's an opportunity, and it just felt like Larry Tunsil and really some of these guys, Shaq Mason, weren't going to be resolved in immediate time. It eventually would be the reason why you would end up letting them go.
All right, we're talking to Cole Thompson at Mr. Cole Thompson on X on Twitter. He's the managing editor of the Texans Wire. By the way, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about C.J. Stroud's second season, what the Texans were last year, and then sort of projecting what that might mean for Jaden Daniels in 2025. I actually think the situations, and I don't know what you think, I think they're completely different. I think the players are completely different. I think your situation in the AFC South, you know, in his rookie season's different. But the one thing that I wanted to mention is when I watched Houston from afar this year, especially in those two games at the end of the year on Christmas Day, I think it was against the Chiefs or the weekend before Christmas Day, and then the playoff game, I saw a Stroud that was battling, man. I thought he was really good after the beginning part of that Chargers playoff game, and I thought the running game with Mixon, I thought that the team was really starting to gel and had a chance to win that playoff game at Arrowhead.
You can't just blame the refs and say that those three calls ended up costing Houston a trip to the AFC Championship game. But
terrible officiated game, though.
But yeah, of course it was. But you can say that, again, the way that they were able to play, it shows that they're almost there. It feels like that they're a couple of inches away. But remember, guys, in that game, they gave up the most sacks they have allowed all season long with 8. And they gave up 15 total pressures. And that was honestly Laremy Tunsil's second worst game in a Texans uniform of 2024. He allowed 2 sacks in that game. He allowed 5 pressures in that game. He missed the all-out blitz that allowed them to kind of throw in a double coverage on fourth down. He nearly got T.J. Stroud killed. So I understand the reason when it comes to that. Stroud is a one-man wrecking crew. I think that we are a little bit, what would be the right word? I think that we're a little bit cautiously optimistic when it comes to him. But also I think that you have to realize this is a player that came into the NFL that immediately caught fire. He had the highest touchdown to interception ratio in the league. He only matched that with Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Those two are in Canton. The other thing is that he didn't have his whole wide receiver core this year. I mean, everyone was dubbing Houston to be this pass-happy team with Tank Dell, with Nico Collins, with Stephon Diggs being a part of the deal. And they only played together 4 games and a grand total of 38 minutes. So when you didn't have Nico Collins and you didn't have Tank Dell and then eventually you lost Stephon Diggs, it took away in the passing attack. And Stroud still threw for over 3,600 yards. He still had 20 touchdowns. He did up the interception total. And some of those were based off of him. The Detroit Lions game in Week 10, if you go back and you watch it, he single-handedly is a reason why Houston lost that game. But it's very hard to say in any other match that he could. I agree with you. I don't think that we are going to see the Jaden Daniels regression the way we saw C.J. Stroud. But the one pushback I will say is I am somebody that never wants to dub a quarterback too early as the second coming of so-and-so or as the next big-time name. I think that Jaden Daniels, if he continues to play the way that he has, is easily the best quarterback in the NFC. But I also was very cautiously optimistic in saying C.J. Stroud maybe is a fringe top 10 quarterback going into year two. I'm going to have my same reservations when it comes to J.D. 5. I want to see it one more time. But he's got the personnel around him with Adam Peters and what he's doing and wheeling and dealing.
All right, so what is Washington getting in Tunsil?
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're getting the second best pass protector on the left side in the NFL. I mean, if you just want to start there, that's just it. He's allowed less than 2.5 sacks every season since 2020 when playing left tackle. He's durable. He is going to give you at least 15 games. Now, the trade-off is you are going to see him miss several practices. When he was in Houston, he never practiced on Wednesdays. He was limited on Thursdays. He was full go on Fridays. So, when people want to talk about his effort, just a reminder, you are going to see him be very limited in practice, but he will be available for game days. He has improved every single year for my liking when it comes to his run blocking skills. I thought he did a really good job of working upfield at the second level of the defense. He did a great job of chipping linebackers and taking them out of the play. I think that he is a physical run defender that wants to win at the point of attack. And you also are getting a guy that at this point, I still feel like believes he is slighted a little bit when it comes to the name of left tackles in the NFL. Every offseason, you see him go onto Twitter and he'll write down the names of people that Pro Football Focus have ranked ahead of him. He'll write down who he believes he is better than. He'll make sure that he writes down the author's names of who wrote a bad column about him. He is all about his imagery and he wants to be known as the face of an NFL team on that blind side, and he wants to be a Hall of Famer. He was a very well-liked player in the locker room among the media and among players. He was a very well-liked person around the NFL because of the way that he acted post-game. I think he is somebody that can come on in and be a stabilizer for your offensive line for the next 5 years. The only question is are you going to be willing to pay him what he wants? And he wants top dollars. So Adam Peters, if I was you right now, I'd be trying to work out a new contract to get him paid before he turns 32, because if he has another season like he's had the last 2 years in Houston with C.J. Stroud, he's going to want $30-plus million to stay on the blind side.
So that was going to be, you answered the next question, which is, you know, what kind of person is he? And it sounds like very well-liked, and it'll be a great culture fit in a totally revamped culture here, Cole, from what it used to be.
I would say so. I think the big thing with him is that he's quiet. If you're trying, and this is for any reporter that's going to a press conference, you're not going to get a lot out of him. He likes to use one-word answers, talking about players, talking about teammates. But he is a very well-liked individual. When you're able to build a relationship with him the way that we were down in Houston, and he was able to talk off the record, he was a very nice guy. He always was willing to give you time when you gave him time. You give him your space, he's willing to kind of go ahead and welcome you on in. And I think that he wants to be a part of a winning culture. I think that the big selling point for him is that he is okay waiting it out to be a part of a winning team when he feels comfortable in the right identity. And so the changes that have been made in Washington over the last several years by moving ownership, by bringing in the right GM, by bringing in a good offensive coordinator and Cliff Kingsbury, having continuity with Kingsbury back next year, the way that Terry McLaurin has been there through a rebuild and through the trialing times, the way that you've seen Dan Quinn get a second chance opportunity. I think that there's a lot to like about how Tunsil will be an exceptional fit for this team long term.
What did you guys think of the actual deal, the compensation from Houston's standpoint?
At the end of the day, when you get four picks for an aging offensive lineman that you know you're not going to re-sign in 2026, I think that's a win. But I'm going to get a little pushback here, and I'm okay with that. I think that you need a first-round pick to call this a win. I really do. And it could have been a first-round pick in 2026. It could have been a first-round pick this year. But when you're giving up a Pro Bowl five-time left tackle that has been the stabilizer of your offensive line and was here through a rebuild and helped C.J. Stroud get confident and played his butt off and helped this team kind of turn the corner on being one of the most biggest laughingstocks in the league, and you still have your quarterback on a rookie deal to give him to a team that is on a rookie deal, I better get a first-round pick in return. Because if I have to now move up and guarantee that I have a left tackle to block for my franchise quarterback in what is going to be the last year before he is up for a contract extension, and this is not a good draft class for tackles. I mean, as much as I do believe that Armon Membo from Missouri can be a really solid player in the league, he's a right tackle. I think that Will Campbell is an interior offensive lineman. I would love to see him actually try things out at center. I think he would be an all-pro. I like what I've seen from Josh Simmons, but he's coming off a torn ACL. I think Kelvin Banks is a wild card. I think Cameron Williams is a wild card. I think Jonas Saivia from Arizona is a wild card. Wyatt Millam is a guard. He's not a tackle. And this is a team that has been able to secure back-to-back double-digit win seasons in a weak division, and everyone else is making moves around you, and you're giving up your best asset. I understand the offensive line was the second worst in the NFL, and it was the most expensive in the NFL. But five-time Pro Bowl potential all-pro left tackles don't grow on trees, and they don't stay with organizations that aren't in big-time cities. Laremy Tunsil wanted that. So I thought the asking price was fair, but I would have said I want a first-round pick, whether it be at pick number 29 this year or wherever you pick next year in 2026.
I think that makes sense. I think if he had had maybe 3 years left on his contract, that may have been the price. I think the fact that Washington's got to pay him is probably the reason it was four picks, none of which were in the first round, not to mention, you know, a second rounder in 2026 being a part of the deal as well. Great job, Cole. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, guys. Take care, guys.
Cole Thompson from the Texans Wire covers the Texans down there. How would you have felt if Washington had given up number 29 overall or next year's first-round pick for Laremy Tunsil and that was the package?
I wouldn't have loved it. I think one of the thrills of this is that you got your left tackle without giving up a first-round pick.
Yeah. Yep. So he's felt slighted. Yeah. I mean, look, I when he said that, I pulled up just rankings of tackles, and I've said, you know, I don't think he's Trent Williams. I don't think he's probably Wirfs or even Jordan Mailata, but he's really good. He's right, you know, in that next category down. I mean, you got guys that got hurt this year, guys like Darisaw that were certainly climbing in terms of the best left tackles in the game. But it's hard to find. It's hard to find a really, really exceptional pass-protecting left tackle, and that there's no question about when it comes to Laremy Tunsil. And he's 30 years old. And this is one of those positions where you don't see significant drop-off at 31, 32. I mean, Trent Williams is going into now, what, his age 36 season? Yes, he's been hurt a lot too recently. All right, a lot more to go. Another guest next hour to discuss Javon Kinlaw. But we'll get to some of the stuff that I haven't had a chance to get to as it relates to the rest of the league and free agency. And I think we will see a lot of action later on today. And the player that Washington was interested in that they didn't get that I think would have helped a lot on defense. All of that coming up. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.